be the villain in somebody else's story, but that's fine. My methods are controversial, but at least it keeps them all in line.
Welcome back, Wisconsin, to the Maggie Dawn Show. It is the 3 p.m. hour with producer Anya. Maggie is still on vacation. She's going to return to us on April 1st. That is no joke. But before we get into the rest of this hour, I want to give y'all the opportunity to win a trip to Chula Vista and get entered to win even more stuff. If you would like to be a part of our Ride into Spring statewide contest today, it is incredibly easy. The only thing you need to do today is text in the one word that should be on your mind in any contest, which is WIN, W-I-N. If you text in WIN using the Civic Media app, again, this hour you're going to be entered to win a stay at the Chula Vista in the Wisconsin Dells. It's a lovely little resort if you've never been there. It's got water parks. It's got golfing. It's got, I think there's an arcade there. I mean, it's really something special. It's a little bit away from a lot of the other resorts in the Dells. It's a pretty cool place. You get to enjoy a little bit more of the wilderness. Not the wilderness of the resort, but the actual natural thing. It still exists in parts of the state. It's amazing. So text in WIN, W-I-N, to get entered to our Ride into Spring event to win a trip to Chula Vista, or win, get entered to win, a bike, a blender, or a patio love seat. Use them all at once. I dare you. With that, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Karina on the line from Milwaukee. Karina, how are you today? What's on your mind?
You know what? I immigrated from Russia. My dad and my mom are not Russians. My mama is Jewish. And I refuse to have a children there because even in the 90s, with everybody knowing you, like in a small city and in your building, you receive yellow stars. You have people on the streets just throwing at your face that you're not Russian. You are Jew and you kill our God.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I run to this country, so I thought that I'm not going to hear that anymore.
Right.
And,
Sorry, hold on. Karina, did you have more to that? You've experienced more here? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just said, because I never expected such a hatred of a white people to anyone else but white. I had no idea. It's worse than in Russia, because in Russia, at least they straightforward. If they don't like you, they don't like you. Here, they hide behind the smile. They waiting. They sending you letters. They put little notes on your car. And it's just like, who are you people? Where are you being? Under which rock? And how much hatred and how much not to do you have in your life that it so concerns you, you know?
I completely feel that, Karina. The idea of who are you and where have you come from and what is it that you're doing with your life that that you have so much time? I've seen this even recently in the reopening of some of the full service pregnancy centers in Milwaukee. That is to say, pregnancy center you can go to and actually receive the full breadth of healthcare options instead of a limited number. I'll phrase it like that. And I've noticed as those centers have reopened, so too have the random protesters, the random people holding bloody signs, screaming at women, getting, you know, cancer screenings and pap smears that they're killing their baby. And I see where they are and I open my phone. It's like there are two soup kitchens, a homeless shelter, a respite center, and a NICU in walking distance of this clinic. All places constantly clamoring for support, assistance. Hell, there are volunteer programs across this country, for example, that are just begging for decent people who can be reliable, to show up on time and to care, to cuddle babies in the NICU who are suffering from having been born addicted to drugs that their parent was on. There are organizations out there begging, screaming for help. You want to help babies? You want to help kids? Please, please come. You just got to fill out this form and a little background check and then come in and help us. But much more valuable is their time to be spent standing on a corner screaming at young women about things they aren't doing, the same way that so many of these anti-Semites screaming about their concerns. For example, the text I read, blah, 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 about dark money, about Soros. If these were to speak to any legitimate concern, the only thing I could think of would be concern at our economic state in this country. Aren't we all concerned about the economic state in this country? If so, do something about it. I had a bit of a crass comment on Busted Pencils last week, a show that runs from 6 to 7 across the Civic Media radio network that I produce for. A projection had been put forward that because of learning loss during COVID, that $1 trillion of wages were going to be lost in the next 100 years. $1 trillion of wages were going to be lost. And I said outright, I said, if you're concerned about wage loss in the future, it's very simple. Simply do not engage in wage theft. Simply, once you're a manager, once you're a hiring person, simply just don't steal people's excess labor, excess wages from them, right? It's the same with racism. It's the same with the people who felt the need to run around our high school when Kaylee and I were in high school, or when it was just Kaylee, when she ran for prom queen and had signs up that said what is an intrinsic fact: Black girls can be queens too. Fight me. Find the empirical evidence that that's not true. There's historical evidence for it. There's precedent for it. It is true. The idea that we are still combating in this country of all places, the idea that we are still combating in this state of all places, a constant censorship of progressives, a constant shutdown of young people, and an especial concentration on the isolation, on the isolating of and the bullying of minority folks in this state, whether it's on the basis of race and it comes out in the way of racism, if it's on the basis of religion and it comes out through anti-Semitism or Islamophobia or an open hatred of any other group, whether it comes out because of your gender or your gender identity, what have you. I remember a time when I learned that this state's motto was forward, and I laughed. And Kaylee is one of the few reasons that that laugh has become something closer to an uncomfortable, whatever that noise is. Because there's a handful of young folks, there's a handful, a good handful, but at still a handful of young people, middle-aged people, older folks that are pushing the fight for the basics forward still. The basics being honor and dignity, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the pursuit of prom court, even, for all of our citizens, especially our children, especially our school-age children who are in what are meant to be facsimiles of our society, where if they are ever going to learn that they have a snowball's chance in heck of doing anything with their lives, it was going to be in our school system. And what did we do to that young woman? We took down her posters that had the intrinsic truth upon them, that young Black women, that Black girls could be queens too, that a Black girl could be a prom queen, that that same girl could be on the school board, that her rights and her interests, her safety, and her time. I really want to come back to, you know, the point that at 21, Kaylee, in the wake of a pandemic we're still reeling from, but in the immediate wake of the pandemic, she ran for school board, not because she has kids in the school, not because she has an economic interest, not because she's going to gain anything than the paycheck she would get for it. But as she said on air here, because something needed to be done, something needed to be changed, something needed to be said, and she was going to say it, and she has, and she did, and is going to continue to. All that's left is for a bunch of folks who haven't been saying or doing much at all to start upholding her and voices like hers, and we can. On a similar note, I want to talk to you today about the TikTok ban. It feels like a decade of hearing about the TikTok ban, and the app isn't even 10 years old. So not sure how that works out. But in the same time frame that we've watched Trump come into power, run for office, win, be in office, and exit office, we have seen almost the exact same roller coaster of his opinions on whether or not this app should or shouldn't exist in America. And subsequently, the opinions and the concerns, the security issues of Americans, whether they are elected officials or just folks like you and me, have been voiced and carried for just as many years. And they are as wide and as diverse as you'd expect from a man like Trump, who keeps changing his opinion. When we come back in a little bit, I want to dive into what this app is, I think especially for our listening audience who, I want to be real, has never opened it, has never used it. And this is not going to be a sales pitch for TikTok. I couldn't care less about them and their bottom line. But I think there's something to be said about young people, how we're communicating, why we're communicating this way, what's getting communicated, and where are our mentors? Where are our elders? Where are the folks that maybe, as I played Neil Young's Old Man earlier, if you took a look at my life, is it a lot like yours? And if it's not, what's missing? Tell me. Call in or text 855-752-4842. And remember, you can still text in the word WIN, W-I-N, for your chance to win a stay at the Chula Vista. This is Cult Leader by King Mala.
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Hey, what up, girl?
Grab my glasses, I'm out the door. I'm gonna hit this city.
Let's
before
go.
I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. What you're listening to is a classic, an old classic of my time. It's TikTok, spelt just the way the app is, by Kesha. Bit of a crazy song. It's still kind of a fascinating look back at my life that song came out and I was bopping to it at like 7 a.m. on my way to middle school. Like, I don't know what Jack was at that time. Now I do, but we're good friends now. But anyways, let's talk TikTok. It's an app high in contention among the left and the right. There's been security concerns, national security concerns raised about its existence, about how many young people are using it, about how many phones it's on. It's been banned from, if you have a work phone and you work for the government, you can't have TikTok on it. That's how important this app has become. And I'm so amazed by that because it's so useless. Nothing made it more apparent to me that our elected officials were not the right people to be legislating on the use or disuse of any app than when about a year ago we saw TikTok get put in front of a congressional hearing and the hard-hitting journalistic questions that our dear senators came out with were things like, can TikTok see my router? Does TikTok use Wi-Fi? And what is Wi-Fi? And you're sitting there as someone like myself who has serious qualms with how this app works. Serious qualms with how mainstream media has started using it, the continual push that TikTok and short form media like it has done to some of our attention spans, but not to mention expectations for media, how much I think it has lowered so many people's ability to be bored and be okay with being bored while learning about something that's worth being bored for. But none of those concerns that I have as someone who has had a professional amount of hands-on time with this app. I would say I've logged at least 10,000 hours on TikTok, I would guess. That those questions do not get answered from a starting point of, does the app use Wi-Fi? I'm not someone with enough background in the law to speak to the Chevron doctrine that Maggie has referenced for many weeks. But I've gotten enough out of her shows to understand that I can reiterate to you if you're not familiar with it, that Chevron doctrine very, very, very simply is, to me, the common sense idea that people who know better should make those decisions. Why on earth a Texas judge was ever able to do absolutely anything pertaining to mifepristone or his opinions on it is still beyond me. The words checks and balances or jurisdiction seem to mean less and less every day, right? So especially in terms of technology, in terms of a burgeoning technology, the likes of the TikTok algorithm, the likes of just the cross-national backing that this app has, the power and the force that placing an app that can send video around the world has when you place that in the hands of people under totalitarian governments, not the least of which includes China, the very place of contention that so many American politicians cite as the reason they want this app gone. And let's just say it for what it is. There is no interest in the bills that the U.S. government is pushing to prohibit, tone down, or stop the continuation of the theft of your personal information via apps. That's not what this is about. We just don't want China to do it. That's our info. That is our emotional support personal info on all of our citizens, and you will give it back to us, the U.S. As I look through the legislation at hand, the statements at hand, this has nothing to do with the safety of citizens. It has nothing to do with ensuring that your personal information remains personal to you. Nor does it have anything to do with, in my opinion, as I see it, stopping misinformation from outside actors from entering the American psyche. Here's what I mean by that. I have seen more misinformation, more full-chested support of complete misinformation regarding topics in American politics on TikTok than I ever, ever have seen misinformation for issues regarding the Chinese government, the Taiwanese government, any other governments at hand, even the North Korean government. In fact, I can think of two instances out of what I would conservatively estimate to be a million TikToks I've probably seen in my life. And I'm not proud of that number, but it does qualify me as some sort of expert, doesn't it? I have seen two pieces of profound misinformation regarding China's involvement with the ongoing genocide against Uyghur Muslims in China, and one against one TikTok referring to misinformation or spreading misinformation regarding the continued human rights atrocities occurring in North Korea. I've seen two out of millions. The scope of misinformation pertaining to life in America, the American government, is wildly out of hand on this app. And I fail to recognize or I fail to see the path our legislators want to carve towards mitigating that, towards remediating that, that they would actionize by any of these bills, whether it was removing what they call Chinese control, whether it means putting that app in the hands of American business folks. What all these different iterations that have been put forward fail to recognize the core of the issue. Banning TikTok, banning any of these other apps, in the same vein as book bans, do nothing but for a moment scatter people interested in that information. And I'll say this too, banning TikTok does nothing to maintaining the integrity of America's ability to understand what is or isn't propaganda, or what is or isn't misinformation. That lies entirely in our education system, in our homes, in our community systems. Ban TikTok all you want. Maybe we'll see a resurgence of Vine finally. I've been waiting for that for a long time. But in the meantime, I really want to encourage you to consider what exactly it is that our time is being wasted on when it comes to business concerns of the elite regarding who does or doesn't own an app that people sell cups and sweaters on, or watch videos of people dancing on. Or me, I get all my recipes that I'm never actually going to make from TikTok. That's what I spend the majority of my time doing. Give me a call, 844, that's not our number anymore, 855-752-4842. Give me your thoughts, give me your opinions. When we come back, we're going to wrap up my time on air and give you a little look into what's happening tomorrow.
Stunning 8K resolution meditation app. In honor of the revolution, it's half off at the Gap. Deadpool self-awareness, loving parents, harmless fun. The backlash to the backlash to the thing that's just begun.
Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. You're listening to a cover of Bo Burnham's That Funny Feeling, covered by the incredible Phoebe Bridgers of Boy Genius. I'm getting nods in the studio for my music selection. Love, love, love when that happens. But it is a very serious song from a serious album, despite it being a comedic music album. Bo Burnham's work Inside, which I believe came out in 2021. I've referenced it a few times that I've come to air because I don't think I've ever stopped thinking about that film. Was a musical and comedic but self-aware journey through what the early days of the pandemic did to so many of us, which was to send us into isolation, send us into our homes with very little more than our phones to keep us company, especially if when the lockdown began, you were not living with someone or, you know, whatever circumstances you may have. But it's also a song that is the accumulation of, I think, a very, very long time in my generation's life where it just sort of feels like the onslaught does not stop. The party truly does not stop when the once-in-a-lifetime events start happening. And I have lived through so many events at my young age that should have been, or maybe seemingly would have been in another time, a once-in-a-lifetime occurrence. TikTok is no different in the way that this is a piece of technology, a piece of social media, an algorithm that is scary good, that occasionally will serve me videos and statements that consistently cause me to realize that I have very, very, very few unique experiences that so many of us on this rock hurtling through space are having the same secret thoughts, the same fears, the same weird anachronistic things that cause us to be so unique in our own ways and yet so very, very much the same. And it's through TikTok, more than Facebook, more than Instagram, more than so many of these apps that are more, let's say, commonplace with folks above my age bracket, that if nothing else, there is a horrific sense of honesty, a painful, you know, the kind of folks who say, I'm not mean, I'm honest, flock to an app like this. And I have a bucket load of issues with this app, with its extremely powerful algorithm, and the way in which it could be used to, on your own or through no effort of your own, lock you into an echo chamber you didn't realize you were building. I have seen it happen to friends of mine when they say, oh, haven't you seen that this thing is all over the app? It's not. There's like 100 videos of whatever trend they're talking about, and they've gotten served all 100 of them. It can greatly emphasize or greatly over-exaggerate your sense of importance on certain things, and it can greatly underplay the importance of others. I am scared when I open that app, and I do see deeply hateful statements. It seems every time I report one of these hateful statements, in fact, I end up getting served more content akin to what I reported, because the unfortunate circumstance is that the algorithm seems to think that any interaction, including hitting I don't want to see this, is engagement and is therefore going to serve you more of it. It's these kind of deep insights, not deep insights, but it's these kinds of even surface level insights about the app and how it works that anyone who's going to be presenting questions to the owners of that app with hope of developing legislation to preserve American safety needs to have. If you're going to go up on behalf of the American people and talk about how important it is that we get rid of this app, I just would really think you'd have a good reason or your reasons sorted out before you came forward, right? I'm not saying put me on the congressional hearing. I don't have the background needed either. But the truth is, neither do the folks that I have seen get into the room for these congressional hearings. The same folks who years ago were grilling Mark Zuckerberg and seemingly could not parse out the difference between Meta, the metaverse, Facebook, VR, AR, all these things that, yes, they're complex. But aren't you the one trying to take those complexities and put them into some sort of law? And if you are, how dare you imply that you could do so without knowing what you're talking about and think it's going to pass for something? I imagine it's the way a lot of folks feel in their own very unique industries where legislation or a congressional hearing begins and statements of fact are made on what it's like to be a nurse or a trucker or any of these other things, where you go, but nobody in that room knew what they were talking about. This is a horrifyingly common occurrence, not just in the U.S. government, but in so many organizations where nobody who knew better, nobody who knew the basics, nobody who knew seemingly anything was in the room when the discussion was had. But when the discussion was over, decisions were made anyways. Decisions that didn't work, decisions that didn't help, decisions that weren't based in fact or reality. Yet we pay the salaries and the stipends of the folks who went into the room to do the work. Yet we receive no new society. We receive no new change. We have yet another crisis of the same ilk a few years down the road. I just am truly of the belief that if it's a problem, there's a solution. It's either not a problem or you didn't find a solution. And I am so tired of the years and years and years that TikTok, this stupid, I really hate this app. I really wish I could just delete it. I say that like I can't. I could. I wish I could bring myself to delete it. There's the statement. That these years of wandering in the Midlands of is this good, is this bad, it isn't anything. And if we have these national security concerns, we're so worried about app information from any source being taken by anyone. There are lots of things we can do about it. The EU has passed a number of resolutions over the years limiting how much information Facebook can pull, limiting the trickery that Apple can pull in its being over unique in how its cords are in order to extort more money from their customers because the cords they use are unique and proprietary from all the others. We've even seen the EU cut into things like video games. And what constitutes gambling in a video game? Are loot boxes or pull cards, these things? Are we actually just opening essentially virtual casinos for children? And what would that do? This is not to sing the praises of the EU, believe me. But it is to say there are experts, there are opinions, there are rules, and there are strictures that we could follow had we any interest in making this situation better. And if our interest is not in making the situation better, what are we doing? With that, I'll go to somebody who I would consider to be a fantastic expert, a published expert, in fact, is Dr. Joanne out of Madison. Joanne, how are you?
Thanks so much for the fantastic show. Just to note, everyone listening knows that you need your own show. this was incredible information, and bringing in your guest as well shows that the younger generation has specific perspectives on the world that we all need to learn about. So just on the TikTok, of course, the bill, as you know, and everyone listening knows, the bill just, well, it goes beyond TikTok to foreign-owned organizations, and it gets a little complex along those lines. But for the whole world to be attacking TikTok in this way, the banking world, the media, the traditional media world and all that, just shows that they want to deflect attention from themselves. They want to set up this straw man and say, hey, go attack TikTok once that TikTok is taken care of. You know, there's no need to deal anymore with these crises. So it's a phony situation. But indeed, I think that TikTok, it would be an amazing way for people to find out about society, to find out who's perpetrating all of this and you know, the filth that does rise to the top, unfortunately, at TikTok. And we need to figure out how we can address those issues. And listening to people like you and your experiences and Kaylee's as well, some of the experiences being unfortunate, it was tough to listen to those experiences, right, everybody who's listening? It was tough to, you know, it's hard medicine. But we need to do that hard medicine with society. And I think that TikTok, I mean, set a whole bunch of researchers off and look at where this information is coming from that's unsettling. But we'll find a lot of good information, too, and recipes.
Yep.
So thank you so much for your perspective along these lines.
Well, and thank you, Joe. It means the world when you call in and you say such nice things because, of course, you're, I mean, truly an expert in this field. And I'll speak to, you know, I've had a couple of videos go I won't say viral to such an extreme extent, but I've had two videos on TikTok do really well, and I was really surprised by what content it was. It was content about domestic violence. I put out two videos, actually years apart, one about the tragic circumstances regarding the burial of Marilyn Monroe, a famous American actress. She's actually buried... the grave above her, it's one of those mausoleum wall things. The grave above her was supposed to go to, it was Joe DiMaggio that she was dating. And after she passed, he sold that plot to a man named Richard Poncher, who's actually buried above her face down. Yeah. Yuck. And of course, Hugh Hefner is buried next to her, laying on his side so that his corpse is staring at her for all eternity. And that video... I continue to get notifications each day from women around the world discussing the deep sadness that this information brought them. And the other video that I had go very viral was actually regarding domestic violence through the scope of a very extreme sense that there are types of domestic violence abusers called family annihilators. And that one of their, a thing that can happen is if they lose their job, they'll lie to the family about going to work while they kind of prepare to end their family, which is horrifying. I posted this video discussing this based on a recent instance of something similar to this happening to a TikToker and warning people that what this could be a sign of. And I think there's like 7,000 comments on that video right now, and the vast majority of them are young women my age or older, or even younger, which is horrifying, saying that their ex or their current partner or their father or someone in their life engaged in this type of behavior, the falsifying of a job, before later doing something violent. And I don't know how to say it, but I've been talking about domestic violence. I've been talking about essentially tips for women my whole life. They never got that many eyeballs on them on any other app. And I've been trying. Let me be clear. I've been trying. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about maybe what good there is in something like this, if nothing else, and a little sneak peek into what we're doing tomorrow. Don't forget, you can still text to win, quite literally text the word win, W-I-N, through our app to get entered to win a trip to Chula Vista, a trip that hopefully could take your mind off of TikTok and all these other atrocities, right? We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, Wisconsin. We're wrapping up the end of the 3 p.m. hour here at the Maggie Dawn Show. Everybody but Madison gets us. Madison's not cool enough to get this second hour, I guess. That's fine. I've got the whole rest of the state to play with. And if you want to play, if you want to jump in on our statewide text to win contest, this is your last chance for this hour, last chance for this day. You can join us again tomorrow morning. New words every couple of hours. Four chances for you to enter to win. Trip to Chula Vista, not to mention you'll be entered to win additionally a bike, a blender, and some patio furniture. I feel like I could have a career on The Price is Right with that. I'd be very good at announcing prizes. Wrapping up what has managed to be quite a heavy episode, I think. So much to talk about in the way of hatreds, what we're doing about them, what can be done. So much to talk about technology, communication. In a time where it feels we are so lacking in communication, I want to emphasize that despite myself being a techie person, I do enjoy learning about new technologies, and I'd like to learn how to code one day, those kinds of things. You know, I really don't want to misrepresent myself as some sort of fan of TikTok, or that my life would in some way inherently be incomplete without TikTok. That would be a little bit sad for myself, if I might be real. But I do want to express that without other outside forces changing in the way that we behave as a society, if TikTok were to be banned, if these bills continue to pass, first of all, let's be clear, something would very quickly replace it. If not a replacement curated by the U.S. government, then some other entity would step in, right? This is not the end of short-form video sharing. Far be it from that. But I do, as a young person, repeatedly feel very clearly the lack of communal space in our societies today. And it's hard because I come from a few backgrounds that deeply emphasize community. I'm Jewish. I'm a member of the LGBT community. And I think in Wisconsin as a whole, the idea of come on in, sit on down, jeet yet? I mean, we've shortened did you eat to one word. That's how often we're checking in on each other, right? Jeet? And yet, as a young woman, as a young Wisconsinite, I routinely fail to find what sociologists and journalists refer to as third spaces. I'm here at work right now, happy to be here with Calvin on the board, I should say. That's my space one, and then I've got my house, my apartment, that's space two. And what so often many young people and people of all ages across this country and across the world are finding is that there are very few spaces you can go to where there's no expectation of purchasing something or there's no expectation of anything other than come over and be. Third spaces can be things like parks or I was going to say cafes, but it's sort of assumed you'd buy a drink there. But that's how few and far between they are is what I've just named as parks. And truthfully, we don't use our parks the way that we could because I think many of us are aware that with so many of our social services lacking, our parks become a safety net for those who have nowhere else to go. That becomes its own situation. We sort of spiral out of control from there. But I'm of the belief that somewhere between the gumption of this younger generation and the know-how of these older generations, there is something the ancients used to refer to as a solution. I know it's an ancient term we haven't heard in many years. but I believe that the recipe for it is still out there. It's almost as though we're living in the time of the Black Plague with where the recipe for soap was lost for a little bit or whatever that old wives' tale is, that perhaps to a certain extent the recipe for community has been lost. Things that are made for us. I mean, I think there's a real reason that the page that you scroll on infinitely on TikTok is called For You. And that's a big offer in a world that offers so little for anyone. What do you mean this is for me? That's a very new feeling. So I want to really just deeply encourage folks going into the rest of this week. I'm kind of acting like it's a Friday. It feels like a Friday for me to consider if you have these strong feelings about banning TikTok, strong feelings about young people and their relationship to technology, strong feelings about where you see the world lacking and where we can step up. I want to emphasize the power of an invitation, a lawn chair, and a space. That more and more, I fail to know where my mentors are, where my role models are, where the set example for how we were supposed to be doing this, sans technology, sans TikTok, I continue to, despite searching far and wide for it, not find it. And I think maybe the only way we can find it is to ensure that we are doing everything we can to promote the existence of these spaces, promote places where young people who, yes, would otherwise go to TikTok to learn everything from international affairs to how to do your laundry, what soup to make for dinner tonight, and what album to listen to next week. I would much rather take this info from someone like a trusted adult, like a community leader, like someone who's always said, you know, if you ever need help with something, this is my number and you can always stop by. I've not had it modeled for me. And I'm certainly not modeling it well enough yet, but I think this is something, if there's nothing else, and certainly nothing that banning TikTok is going to do, whichever way you feel about it, the root causes of the issues we have with TikTok, whether it's the prevalence of misinformation, really, really stemmed by the failures of our education system more than the successes of an app, or whether it's the idea that why aren't the youth going somewhere for this info? Well, where would we go? Where are you is the question. Where do we go from here? I've been Anya Esther. Tomorrow we're going to have a fantastic guest host. Again, On Friday, we've got Jim Santel. And then on Monday again, Maggie's back. She's here to stay. Good stuff. That's all there is to say. It's just the same as all the rest. I will see you tomorrow.